Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
First show of the week, baby.
First show of the week. That's right. For our purposes, first show of the week. What is up, everybody? And welcome in to the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go!
It's understandable. We're presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR whenever you sign up. And gamble along with us. It's lots of fun to do. Trade deadline week. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I have a feeling it's going to be an eventful one. And because of that, I brought in some reinforcements. We got Dane Moore from the aptly named Dane Moore NBA podcast on the show.
Great name. Yes, it is a great name, and thank you for having me. I feel like I was just here.
You were just here.
Literally like 10 days ago.
You're basically a member of the show.
I am. That's what I consider myself.
An alternate.
I'm on the payroll.
Dane also is a Minnesota Timberwolves beat reporter, beat writer, beat podcaster, all of those things. So he's going to be our Timberwolves expert as the Nuggets are on a home and away against the Timberwolves. But for the first time all year, playing the Timberwolves rested.
Kind of.
The first time all year. Does that worry you? Seeing a rested Nuggets team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, well, they took a rest last night. I mean,
this is true.
I was saying to Harrison before, that was one of the dumbest games I've covered in a long time. And I mean, it was just nothingness, right?
And it's
been like every time they've played Denver, it's been something like that.
Right.
There's been a Denver related excuse. So I'm actually excited for tomorrow because I know in Timberwolves world, like you're kind of looking at being the 6-7-8 seed, like Denver is very much a possible first round matchup for this team. So it's interesting to me because we haven't really seen it. And no Cat still. So it's not like the Wolves are full strength either. So we should mention that.
Yeah, the Nuggets have to do this with one division opponent every year. Because last year they played the Jazz 3 out of 4 times on the second night of a back-to-back.
I don't get it. Like, every team has
next
them.
Year
I
just it's probably
don't get why
Portland.
It would ever be a division opponent. I just feel like when you set the schedule, there's certain things you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Division opponents with rest advantages, it shouldn't happen once, of course, but 3 times it shouldn't happen. For Denver, last year Utah, this year Minnesota, it's really weird. Over here, wearing no shoes today, it's Brennan Vogt.
No, there's... Dane, these are called Subus.
You're not wearing any socks.
They're outdoor
slippers.
Ant
wears those.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Vindication, man.
Yeah.
Holy.
Is that vindication?
That's massive.
No,
vindication.
That is, dude, he's 21.
Not vindication at all.
There's just no socks on. It's just
I'm a little uncomfortable.
They're slippers,
over here,
bro.
Like, honestly, if this was like a restaurant, the grade would get lowered for the.
You guys know what my.
This is a restaurant.
This is actually a restaurant. What
That's
am I talking about?
That's a good point,
Dane. And then, of course, the man with the wind in his hair, Harrison Wynn.
I'm wearing shoes with socks.
Yeah, and you look good, by the way, Wind. I haven't, you know, you really do. I don't know if it's a haircut.
Thank you, man.
You know what? You're shining over there.
Right here.
Yeah.
That's nice.
All right, guys, let's get into it because we do have a lot of topics to get through with Dane here this week. And I'm going to start you off so hot. I'm putting you under the pressure cooker.
Let's do it.
You're comfortable on the show now, so now I ask the hard-hitting ones. Is this team better without Towns? I mean, you just said he's not there in this game, and I'm kind of thinking, like, I wish he was.
You have moments of, like, genuinely thinking that. I think the answer is no, though. There are just as many instances this season. It's kind of switched, right? Like, the Wolves, Carl's entire career have been a problematic defensive team. Yep. And then they were decent last year, right? I mean, they're a bottom 10, like, fluctuating between, like, 18th and 20th in offense this season. So they do need more offense on this team. I think the real question is like, does he fit? Like, or how does it fit back in? Because the reason the Wolves are even like in the playoff mix right now is Kyle Anderson has been huge. I mean, and obviously Ant has taken off, but like the replacing Cat with Kyle Anderson has been a really good fit and really allows them to do a lot of different things. I mean, when they played the Nuggets a couple times ago, like Anderson guarded Jokic and Gobert was off ball. I really like that look. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the kind of toughest ways you can guard Jokic. I mean, he still had like 28 or whatever in that game, but
that is the way to guard Jokic, though. But here's the thing: you talking here is almost convincing me the other way, which is
I wasn't convincing.
Well, no, because you're saying since then, you know, Ant's been playing well. Well, maybe he's playing well because there's more space. Early on in the year, that wasn't that his complaint? Like, didn't he have a great fire quote where he's like, "There's no room for
didn't
me
he
to
have
go?
Like no dunks or something over yeah, the first like he month or
that might have been a little bit to do with the 21-year-old pudginess.
Yeah,
okay.
Did he come into the season a little puffy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, who hasn't? Let's be honest.
It's not like
it was weird because
ever
it was like it was supposed to be all muscle. There was like reports that came up.
He
put on 15 pounds and his body fat went down, and then you're like, okay, no dunks for the first like two weeks of the season. It's a little bizarre, but I mean, dude, he's something. I mean, it's like a 27-5-5 like every night, and that was the biggest thing with him was just inconsistency for the first two seasons, and you can kind of just pencil it in now, but. He's getting his, and yeah, but to your question, like, is that because there's no Cat? Like, yeah, to some extent, the consistency of those numbers. I'm just saying there's been nights where you go, this team needs more offensively. And Carl didn't have a terrible defensive season last year. The beginning of his career, defense was a major problem. If he can be solid there, I think that should actually move the needle for the Wolves pretty substantially.
But you need horses. Like I've watched a lot of Wolves this year, and they have a lot of clutch time losses where it's just like they don't have enough guys out there.
Yeah.
And it's just Ant, and the defense knows that. And I like these guys as role players, but there's a lot of like Austin Rivers and Naz Reid. And I like having a team identity is important, but there's no version of this Wolves team that's the best version of themselves that doesn't include Cat just because of the talent, right?
And they're so young. I mean, I think that's what people don't. You add Rudy and you add like this veteran, but they turn the ball over like as much as anybody in the league. And there's so much like we forget. You know, Ant is 21. Jaden plays a ton. He's 22. Like Naz hasn't really gotten a lot of experiences. He's 23. Jalen Noel plays a bunch. He's 23. Like it is an oddly young team that was like supposed to be a contender by adding Rudy Gobert. I think that's the late game stuff vote. Like that is. Definitely been problematic, and they don't have anything to really go to consistently other than D'Lo in isolation or Ant in isolation. They were good late game when they would like kind of run their little horns V action thing with D'Lo, Ant, and Cat right there. That's tough to guard for anybody. So if you can get Carl back in the mix and his head's on straight, like this team should be better with him.
So you're talking about this from a pure basketball standpoint. And I understand, even though I disagree, because I'm going to go on record here. I disagree. I don't think that the Towns-Gobert pairing works. But more importantly, I don't think...
That wasn't the question you asked, though. Well, you asked, are they better at basketball right now? Do I think big picture they should keep those two together? Probably not.
But I even mean this year. I mean, the Wolves are playing some good basketball in Towns' absence, for arguably their best of the year. And I'm just saying I don't think those things are... They're not a one-to-one. It's because he's gone that they're playing well.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a big factor in it, and there's probably something to be gleaned from it. But either way, whether you agree or not from a basketball standpoint, here's the real reason I think that it's a problem. This is Ant's team, in my opinion. I know this is a weird dynamic. Like, we get into this. Whose team is it, really? Some teams, it's not clear. some of the comments from Ant earlier, when it was like, we all know who the problem is, or we all know what the problem is and why we can't get here. Whether he was like inferring or trying to imply a player, whether he was trying to say this or that, I think what it really means is, does a team know who they are? And when you have two guys who are kind of even talents but completely different needs, it just becomes a like, what is it we are trying to accomplish? And I think sometimes when you take out one of those pieces, it's like, now we know exactly what we are. Not that we're better or should be better, but it's just everybody knows what we're doing.
They're getting so cooked in transition for the first 20 games of the season, just playing two centers. So I was the one who was asking Ant that, and it was funny. Like, all the other guys in the locker room, too, like, turned to, like, they were like, you know what it is.
Right.
And it's that playing with two centers, they could not get back in transition whatsoever. And as the other players, and they're stacking up losses, there was real frustration. Now, the frustration is removed. Like, I think the vibes are pretty good with the Wolves right now. And, yeah, Carl's not there, but I do think the vibes would have progressed had Carl been there. Mm-hmm. I think it was so much to do early on with a lack of familiarity and it being probably a bad fit, too, with two bigs. But I do think it would have similarly progressed if Carl... Like, I don't think they have a worse record right now.
If he was there.
If Carl would have played the whole time. I don't think so.
One of the things that a lot of people just don't understand about NBA teams is you just need time to mesh when you have new pieces. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets were so bad defensively early on this season. Yeah. Like, they ranked 28th in defense for the first couple months of the year.
Yeah.
They were, like, down there with teams who were trying to lose. Like, the Rockets, the Spurs, the Magic. And if you ask guys about it, they were like, yeah, we just don't know how to communicate with each other because we haven't played together before. Mm-hmm. And we were here on this show being like, oh man, they just don't care. But I think there's actually like a real thing about playing together and knowing each other and like learning how to communicate with one another.
You know what's interesting is last year, January 1st, the Wolves were the number one offense the rest of the season. I'm actually just curious. I don't know what the answer to this is. And it just kind of flipped a switch from there and boom, they're going. And the same thing has happened this year with January 2. And I wonder if it has to do with Finch's scheme. And like his he's very much one of the play random coaches, right? Like, it is as unstructured of an offense as you get in the league. And I wonder, you mix a lack of structure with a lack of continuity, that just hurts you at the beginning. And so that reflects really poorly on Kat and the Gobert pairing. Like, maybe I think we just have precedent from last season that it took time to acclimate a new group to playing under Chris Finch and his little artistic Finchian way of playing offense that is just kind of like playing, you know? And it has to, I think it needs to click in a little bit more. I don't know what it could be other than that, but it's 2 years in a row that they've been a completely different team come the turn of the new year after about 30 games, whatever it is.
When does Towns come back? Do we know?
You know how
Connelly just
goes.
Say before the end of the season, definitely.
Before the end of the season, wow.
But they're not. They haven't set a timetable at any point. ESPN dropped like 4 to 6 weeks right afterwards, and that was like 4 to 6 weeks ago was when that would have been. And so we don't know. It's been one of those situations where it's been kind of cloudy in terms of what's going on.
And you mentioned this already a little bit, but. You know, Tim Connelly, I think he has a lot of positive traits and some negative ones perhaps, you know, are TBD or whatever. But one of the ones that you can't convince me otherwise is I think he is a great culture guy. At least he was in Denver. He was an incredible, like, at helping set the culture. Do you feel like there has been, I mean, it's been tumultuous, but do you feel like the culture is really improving to where it's like, nope, there is something positive energy going on with the org?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think there's just, I mean, it's gotten better, and I think the culture has gotten better, but when all the things that seem to stack up that get better are things that kind of directly don't work with Rudy, and so it's like, I don't want to give Tim the credit for a culture when the most problematic thing to the culture right now is this presence of a second center. Not the culture. Rudy's not like a bad teammate or anything like that, but the players are like, okay, we have to run pick and roll. We have to run lob. We have to give Rudy touch. Like, Rudy's posting up all the time. And it's like, every time things break down and aren't clean, it almost always goes back to Rudy. Or, and that's not all on Rudy, it's like Ant too. Ant can't throw a lob to Rudy to save his life. Like, he can't. And he has like 14 assists to Rudy this season.
Wow.
Like, maybe it's 17. It's
this
like,
is like the
it's new, under
this
20.
Is Donovan Mitchell too, right? There might be something more structurally to this. This is the thing, is there might be something more structurally, not about a weakness in Gobert or this or that, but just the way that you play when you're on the court together that, you know, I don't know. Because it's just like what happened with Donovan Mitchell. He had four passes a game or something like that to him total.
It is eerily similar. I mean, Ant, too, has never, like, we've asked him about this. He's like, I've never played with a rim roller in my life. Yeah. Like, college, high school, anything. He's always played in like five out offenses. So of course that's why he loves Nas, and like, and that's what those come from. He's like, yeah, I prefer a spread floor.
Pop it, yeah.
But that's just because I think that's what he's, you know, he's done before. There have been guys though that have worked with Rudy, and they're kind of like the same guys. Like, yep. Joe Ingles worked great with Rudy, yep. And Kyle Anderson works great with Rudy. Mm. And it's kind of like moving at a different pace, like hitting him on the roll later, hitting him on the lob later, and that really takes a more advanced basketball IQ than, again, the 21-year-old's going to have, or Deal's trying to sling in those, like, right, pocket passes off the bounce, and Rudy's not very good at catching.
And
like,
there's the contract pressure, too, for some reason of, we all know where Rudy's real utility is, but because he's paid so much, he's got to get touches, it at least feels like, right? I'm sure in his head that's the case, and it complicates what might otherwise be, like, in some ways, he's arguably the best role player in the league, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, an elite defender and all that, but offensively, it's not a glove on hand fit for any modern offense.
I think he gets passed to more because he makes $40 million.
Right.
Like, there is a pressure in that, whether it be organizationally, coaching, like all that. If it was just, you know, if it was just a straight role playing, rim rolling, if it was Nerlens Noel, right? Like, they would not pass to Nerlens Noel as much as they pass to Rudy Gobert. Sure. And I would say those are like pretty similar offensive players, right? In a vacuum. But that part is kind of weird. It seems forced a lot of the time to get to Rudy, though, again, increasingly less so as the season goes on.
The fan base coming around on him at all? Or is he still kind of like never going to be the beloved one?
Well, it's tough. Ant has everyone's heart.
Of course.
So it's the same for Kat. You know, it's D'Lo's kind of the really good example of that, where D'Lo's having his best season. And
last, like, 20 games or something, he's shooting like 50%.
Dude, it's insane. His shooting numbers are insane this season. Net impact, not so much. So it's not that people are totally wrong about that. But, I think Wolves fans go, this group of the four, D'Lo, Ant, Kat, Rudy, it doesn't make sense to them. And, you know, I guess the front office is holding out that it is one of those time things. But, yeah, pretty much it just seems like everybody really likes Ant. That seems to be the vibe.
He's very likable.
And Nas. Everybody loves Nas.
Really?
Yes.
That's so funny. Everyone here, too.
So, yeah, same thing in Denver.
Everybody likes Nas Reed.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit here, man.
He'd be so good.
Let's take a break, our first break. But on the other side, to start to frame the conversation about trades, you know, in the NBA, especially with the Nuggets, I kind of want to know what Minnesota's short and long-term goals are, because I feel like that's not quite defined.
So I don't know how helpful I'm going to be.
We'll walk through it. We'll work it out.
Oh, man. Look, when we were in Serbia over the summer, we used this product every single morning.
Rakia.
That too.
Good guess.
But before the Rakia, it was Athletic Greens.
That's right.
One cup of Athletic Greens every single morning. If you guys want better gut health, if you want more energy, if you want to optimize your immune system, check out Athletic Greens. With one scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. It's lifestyle-friendly with whatever diet, however you might be eating. Athletic Greens is going to hook you up with a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/nuggets, athleticgreens.com/nuggets to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, if you want to kick off the new year with new gear built to last, check out our friends at Shady Rays. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much, much more. Shady Rays has one of the coolest deals that any of our sponsors do. This is exclusively to DNVR listeners. Shady Rays is going to hook you up. If you go in store at Park Meadows or if you go online, shadyrays.com, 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's an awesome deal. 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses.
I got an idea.
What's that?
Well, Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, nice.
Valentine's Day gift. You got yourself one. You got a pair? Free one for your significant other.
My significant other would break up with me if I got them Shady Rays sunglasses. Just FYI.
That's a really poor way to end that ad.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one, but okay.
I would say great work. I think it's like a better gift for like a friend. All right. A significant
I'll take
other.
I'll take them. You get one, I'll take
them. I'll hook you up with something. I got my wife some before Christmas ahead of our trip down to Mexico. Loved them.
Nice.
Super pumped about
it. So. Nice.
We have different significant others.
ShadyRays.com.
All right, let's get back here. Let's try to define. So I think that the Timberwolves are a team in flux. They're a feel-good story right now. I am, of course, under the impression that they'd be better without Karl-Anthony Towns, but whatever. Here's the thing. You just mentioned all the guys that are young. They're not a lot of veteran players. I think their best days are ahead of them should they decide that their best days are ahead of them. A lot of teams get to this point. They feel like, oh, man, we've had Towns for a while. We got this. Let's go all in. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they can probably approach this deadline as well as their next year a little bit more patiently, and it'll pay off tenfold in the next two seasons. What do you think their short-term goals are or should be?
Can you give me an example of what just being patient at the deadline would look like? Does that just, I mean, are you suggesting like getting off of older players? Here's
what I mean. And I'm not even going to bring up specifics. I'm just saying right now the Minnesota Timberwolves are one game out of the four seed. And I think when you're that close, there's a temptation to say like, hey, man, we could be home court advantage if we just make a move that just gets us over the hump. And it's like, well, you got over the little hump. But maybe it costs you, as opposed to, I think you'll be a playoff team. It's not a given. It's actually, you're also close to being a play-in team, and True. Then it's like, whatever. But I think there's a foundation in place when you look at the McDanielses, the obviously the Ants. You know, you've got some players there that I'm like, hey, maybe this is the gap year with some players, but you move on to eventually you have a new iteration of this team. That's all I mean.
Yeah, well, I think functionally it's tough to make a win-now move if you're the Wolves. You don't have picks that you can trade. So you couldn't even go get that like sixth, seventh man, you know, the 3-and-D guy that everyone's looking for. Like they couldn't even add that really if they Sure. wanted to. So any sort of move kind of like hinges on D'Angelo Russell, Naz Reid or Jalen Noel, and D'Lo's on a max and the other two guys are on a minimum. So it's kind of hard to even play the like fake trade game with them. It's I think any move you are making or not making is committing to one of those guys, right? Mostly like Naz or D'Lo. And I think Naz is the most interesting example of it's like that for most teams, this is a really good development story. Like this should be a guy, you know, you want to keep, you start him on a two-way, he's making nothing. You want to extend him and keep him. But it also doesn't make much sense to keep Naz Reid. He's never functioned as a four. Like it's always been a disaster when he's played by Rudy or by Kat. So you're really looking at him being the third center on your team. So why would you keep him?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is the youth movement thing would be to, oh, let's extend Naz 4 years, whatever. And I don't know. I think Tim has this weird, is in this weird situation where he kind of needs to like make moves now, like maybe a Naz extension that doesn't make sense in the current construct of the team. Or like Bones Highland, for example. If you traded for Bones Highland, on this roster, to me, that makes no sense because you don't want to play Bones Highland next to Jalen Noel or D'Angelo Russell in your backcourt because now you got three guys who have just as problematic defensive issues. But maybe Bones is like your one guy once D'Lo and Noel are gone. So it's I've never covered a deadline like this where it's not a buyer or seller thing. It's kind of like a little bit of 3D chess for them. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the right move is, and so much of it has to do with like what could you get for D'Angelo Russell?
That's the big question. I don't think that Minnesota's looking to make the big like Towns move now or anything like that. That's probably
they literally can't trade him right now.
Oh, really?
Because he signed that Supermax extension.
Oh, so he's like okay.
Yeah,
so he's
the earliest they could is like in the July 7th or whatever once the moratorium ends.
Okay, and then D'Angelo would be the only other one, but like you mentioned, like that's. I don't know if the market's for him. It seems like
yeah.
Be a little
I mean,
rushed.
I think you're getting like a best case, like a Kyle Lowry or a Mike Conley, like another.
I think for that, if you were going to trade him again, this is why I was bringing up the short and long term goal, is because you might take a step back in the short term if you traded him in a deal that set you up for better success. If you were looking at this team saying, we want to make the playoffs and maybe we can, maybe we can't without it, but we're going to be so set up for the next 3 years if we do things right now.
I would do the do things later move. Like that was the biggest thing that didn't make sense to me with Rudy, outside of it being as many picks as it was that it seemed like a move that was so betting on Karl Anthony Towns' prime rather than Anthony Edwards' prime. Like,
yep, I agree.
Ant isn't going to – Rudy will not be on the Timberwolves by the time Ant's in his prime.
Yeah.
Like, and now, till 2029, you don't have first-round picks that you can trade when you're necessarily, as you guys have gone through with Jokic, going to need to piece together a roster. That's every year. It's like, put it back in the bowl, stir it up. Like, what do we need now? And they don't have many ingredients to be able to, you know, go get that guy.
Not to do the cross-sport thing, but I honestly think this is what happened to the Broncos, is they had five bad years.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is taking too long. And then you make a rash decision that actually sets you back another 5 years. And I just think Minnesota's in a similar spot. I mean, the Gobert-Towns pairing, whatever, that's in the past. But I am just saying that right now I look at it as like, man, we haven't done this in a while. We're right there at the four seed. And you have a tendency to want to be like, let's do it. And then you're like, well, this didn't actually bear fruit long term. It just kind of gave us one little seven-game series.
I mean, I don't know what the do it is, though. Like, I don't know what the win now move
it could
is.
Just be getting cap back.
Yeah, and I think if you're Minnesota,
I mean, I'm so out on Towns. Yeah.
I think if you're Minnesota, you just kind of push the can down the road to next summer.
Yeah.
Like, and if I know Tim Connelly, I feel like a classic trade that he would make here, I don't know if it'll happen, but like Naz Reid for Bones Highland feels like a Tim Connelly trade, because this happened in Denver a lot where if the Nuggets had a guy who was coming up to be a free agent like Naz Reid is and couldn't retain him on a team-friendly deal, they looked to trade him. That's what happened with Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez when they got traded to Minnesota, actually, ironically. And then in return, like, you get a second draft guy that you can, like, kind of bet on that a team has soured on. It's like Naz Reid for Bones Highland, that seems like a Tim Connelly trade.
Tim Connelly trades are usually second drafts. I mean, Trey Lyles, you know, was a second. Will Barton was a second draft guy. It's guys where you're like, I think, and Bones to me is a really great second draft guy if you have the cultural infrastructure and opportunity ahead for him, which I don't know if they do. But, like, he's very likely to be a good player.
Yeah.
So that's a great second draft. You're taking him because the situation was bad that he was in.
Yeah.
The only thing, I mean, Dane, I don't know. To me, part of the emotional weight of the disappointment around the Wolves, or the initial disappointment, is that last year there was real momentum.
Yeah.
And like, while this is a very different Wolves team, it's also a very different West. They're a game out of the four seed. There's still a chance to, we say, kick the can down the road, improve on last season, keep the organizational momentum going forward.
So that was the whole reason they made the Rudy move.
Yep, hold on.
It was to do that.
To keep going forward. Yes.
They're also a game out of the 12 seed.
I understand.
I'm just saying, it's a little, this is where things can get so confusing, is you can't phrase it one way without phrasing it the other. But they are a two-game lose streak away from being out of the play-in.
See what you have this year. And
Can I ask you guys about a Bones-Naz trade from the Denver side of it?
Yeah.
How impactful do you think adding Naz, let's just say that was the trade right now, like how much does Naz move the needle or not move the needle for Denver?
I think he would help shore up a second unit that's been like the biggest weakness on the Nuggets this year. Like the bench has been...
You didn't like how DJ played last night?
He played? What?
Continue. I'm actually interested in this answer.
No, I mean, like the second unit has been the black eye on the Nuggets all year. The backup center position has been a big question mark. Zeke Nagy's been good at backup center. Do I trust him in the playoffs? No. I think Naz Reid is better. So, you know, from that angle, I think it would definitely improve the Nuggets for sure.
Here's something to consider, and I'll hear your response on this vote, but part of what makes Zeke work is that he allows you to switch everything. Yep. And there's weaknesses to that. The offense hasn't looked good. I think Naz Reid's an offensive player, not a defensive one, personally. I think he's a better offensive defense is actually
switching is his best coverage, though, I would say.
So, okay, so maybe then it does allow you to switch. My thought was, if you add a center, a true center to that lineup, does it make your switch defense a little bit less? And therefore, is Naz Reid adding enough offensively to make up for the defensive deficiency that you bring there, mm-hmm. knowing that that lineup wasn't a plus anyway to begin with? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. The Nuggets team was a much different team last year, but the Nuggets bench was good with DeMarcus Cousins. And Naz Reid is kind of similar to DeMarcus Cousins, wow. I think. The DeMarcus Cousins of last year. I think they're actually very similar. Yeah.
He's that in his game?
Yeah, he's like an offensive playmaker,
I mean, he's a good
man.
Shooter, yeah.
Adam, I promise if Naz Reid comes here, he is like one of those guys who will
I've liked him for a while. Like going back, I even mm-hmm. liked him. I just, again, he's more of an offensive player, and I think he takes away the versatility of
that
unit.
I hear that point. That's
which is the only thing.
He might do that, yeah.
And then on top of that, there's the, like, he's a pretty good player. I don't know that he might just be a two-month player for Denver.
He might be a runner. I mean, he wants a bag, right? Yeah. Naz Reid.
He's made, like, $6 million total dollars in a four-year career. I think,
and I don't know if the Nuggets would be in that business.
I just don't think he, like, the bench is such a small part of this that I don't, if he makes him better, I think it's marginally.
Yeah.
And then it's, is that the best thing you could do? And by the way, the answer might be yes.
Naz is going to be a good player in a couple years. I don't know when that's going to totally happen. And that I think is the crux of this, a bones for Naz type deal or just Denver trading for Naz in general is can he be impactful right now when you're trying to go win a championship? And if that's the case, or whoever the center is for Denver, then you're wanting to pour in more assets, maybe even something on top of bones for that type of trade. And if I'm the Timberwolves, that's the only team I'm trading Naz to. I'm not just doing Naz for like 2 seconds and picking that up. I think he has shown enough upside potential and serious game to be like, unless we can get something that's significant here, relatively speaking, then let's do the extension thing and let's ride it out. Or let's just have Carl's still not back. And I don't know what the hell's going on with Carl. So they might just need to keep Naz for that reason. But I wouldn't do bones for Naz straight up.
You wouldn't?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm like, if there is one player that I am like highest on relative to the market with the Wolves, it's Naz.
Interesting.
So that might be a little bit of that there. But I think if I were Denver and I thought that Naz could make an impact this season and get rid of that 12 minutes a night at backup center from being that black eye, I don't think it's a terrible idea to give even more than bones for them. Though you guys know the value of bones, and it's as low as it's ever been now. I think if we had this conversation a year ago, it'd be like, what, bones Highland for Naz?
It would have been absurd. I will say
it's not absurd anymore, though, to say that even more should be coming back from Denver, in my opinion.
I'd be surprised if it was just bones for Naz, actually.
I mean, I don't think you do it if you're Denver. Like, you're not that desperate to trade bones. I mean, there is the weird scenario. Well, the worst scenario
I think
is
you. I think that ship has sailed, man.
I don't think so.
Well,
right. I don't think so. I mean,
what are you wanting to get back for bones? Like, what would be a
first-round pick? Would be
nice. I mean, I think that's now almost moved into the best-case scenario. Just because I don't think Denver has... If you found a ball handler for a second unit with size, get it. I just don't think bones is worth that, even the B version of that. So I think it'd be hard. You're just looking at a pick because that's basically kicking the can down the road, saying, we got an asset. We traded an asset and got an asset, and it's even, and you don't have it.
Bones, I'd try and get Jalen Noel back in that trade if I were Denver, too. Because he's not having a good shooting season, but he is like discount bones. Yeah. And you know, and watching they really have in the Atlanta game and against Minnesota, obviously, you know, they're more that second unit misses bones and Jalen has that, you know, that type of game too. So maybe it's like your ninth or tenth man or something like that.
Right.
I think, you know, if that means getting a pick in it too, like throwing Noel in there, he is discount bones.
Yeah. I think what Calvin Booth has to do here, there's like we've seen him do some good things. I've been on record. I think Calvin Booth has the right vision. Like in talking to him about basketball, I always walk away going like, that makes a lot of sense. That's how you win with this Nuggets team. So I think he has the right vision. Then the question becomes, do you pull these moves off? Like you can have the right vision, but can you get it? And one of the things that I think I'm interested to see I just have a default Bones fetches you a pick of some sort, you know, some type of asset in that regard. If but there's always the opportunity for you to take advantage of a situation, meaning some team had big plans at the deadline. They fell through, and all of a sudden a GM is sitting there going, I'm 2 months away from being fired unless I tell my owner something big here. And if that becomes like the good GMs just seem to find a way to get that phone call in and be like, hey, you're not sitting too pretty. I got a way to get you out of this hell you're in. Mm-hmm. Bones Highland is a great player. You play him for the next 2 months, and you're going to see it there, and you can sell that. And so that's what I want to see.
Bones has years left on his deal, too. Oh, like,
for sure.
Like that, Nas is an unrestricted free agent. Yeah. Like Bones should be more of an asset than Nas or than a lot of people because he's that two more years and then restricted free agency. Like that is a very important element of assessing Bones' trade.
I don't think Denver is looking to trade Zeke Nagy, but he is from Minnesota.
He is.
He is a good young player, and more importantly, he's a good kid. He has good defense and shooting. I mean, allegedly, his shot hasn't been perfect this year.
I think it's coming around.
It is coming around. He's starting to make them again. But he has size, a power forward that you could put next to a Towns because he can guard. Is he a player that you think would make sense long term in Minnesota?
I actually went to the same high school as Zeke Nagy did. So I should really.
Is he big there? Famous around those parts? Or?
Yeah, I mean, relatively so, I guess.
Really? I'm just joking. I would not have guessed this anyway.
I don't know. He's a lot. We would not go to high school at the same time. That's what you're asking. I'm not super into Zeke Nagy on the Wolves. I want more like Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson type fours that you squint and they're a three rather than you squint and they're a five. And I think Zeke is that.
Yeah.
Though, like, what do you think Tim's into on the current roster? Like,
I mean, he Tim drafted really Zeke.
Like, Tim's into guys that are nice.
Bones and Zeke.
Yeah, that is
Bones
true.
And Zeke, I think he would be into.
I don't. I mean, more Bones than Zeke. Typically.
Yeah, for sure.
Zeke is
Bones is a Tim Connelly guy. I mean, if there's anybody like out there that's. I mean, Tim Connelly drafted Bones. Like,
I mean, you know this, Dane. One of his opening quotes with you guys was that he literally said his method of evaluating is asking himself, is that boy nice?
Yes.
That's a real thing.
Nice as in a nice hooper, not as in a nice
person. Yeah, as in nice with the rock.
Yeah, nice with
the
rock.
And that's Bones Highland.
And then the Zeke part of this, I'm so curious like to know what the plan long-term was because to me, Zeke would fit with Rudy Gobert as this like stretch player who can shoot the three from that spot, gives you size, can guard. I don't know if he does with Towns, but if you were looking at a backup five who could play a little four as well, to me that would be like, okay, that's the plan there. If you're keeping both players long term, it doesn't make any sense at all, but neither does Naj Reid, so
right.
Who knows?
Well, and then they have, like, I don't know if there's a huge distinction in their eyes between Zeke Nagy and Nate Knight. And the Wolves, for some reason, have five centers on their roster. And they actually like
Luka Garza, too.
Yeah, Luka Garza.
He played well the other night.
Yeah, like they actually like. And I mean, Luka Garza is a better shooter than Zeke Nagy is.
Is he?
Like, yeah.
He knocked him some down the other night.
I mean, and obviously, Zeke would be a way, way better defender. So, you know, like that sort of thing. But I'd be shocked if this team added a big at the deadline. It would need to be enough. Like in the midst.
Hey,
of
maybe
like
it's Bones for Luka Garza. Let's get all of Yugoslavia.
Well, actually, I will
bring it up. Bosnia.
I would vote here. You were
saying something. Well, it's not Garza, but you were just in terms of packages, right? Like there is something to Denver keeps trying to play Zeke as a five. He's a four. And you're talking about what is Naz Reid's role if there are two centers, star centers in Minnesota. He can't really play four. Well, Denver needs a five. So maybe just like if it starts with Bones, but there's just work to be done there in terms of the
we got to take
and
a break.
Noel and Zeke.
We got to take a break. On the other side, though, we'll talk about just what Minnesota needs, just to put a button on the Minnesota Denver trade, and then we'll just start talking about some bigger things about where do we not want Bones Highland to go, and maybe a little debate on who deserves the opened roster spot in the All-Star game more, Anthony Edwards or Jamal Murray.
Ooh, okay. Jive Hive. If you don't know what Jive Hive is, it's a virtual dispensary on wheels. Go to jivehive.com. They serve a bunch of areas throughout Colorado. Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, various areas of El Paso County as well. Jivehive.com, JiveHyve.com. If you're just chilling in your house, on your couch, watching the Nuggets game, Want a little delivery mid-game? Check out JiVibe. I mean, they're perfect for that. A virtual dispensary on wheels. They've got great pricing. They're convenient, great privacy and security on their orders as well. Go to JiVibe.com. Get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. They serve Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County as well. At DraftKings right now, guys, NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers commit $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Also, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every single day. So download the app now, sign up with code DNVR, new customers commit $5 on the NBA. Get $200 in free bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, quick DraftKings pick of the week.
Can't wait for this one.
Fire up the app.
Oh, man.
Always Nuggets -6.5 versus the Timberwolves.
I'd love for the Nuggets to make a statement game.
I would, too.
I doubt they will, though.
I don't think it's going to be a statement game. I'm going to take Minnesota +6.5.
Man, I would go the other way. My pick of the week is the opposite of Harrison.
Minnesota +6.5. I still think the Nuggets are going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game.
When was the last time a line switched by 15.5 points by this playing is the same team back-to-back?
That's the DraftKings pick of the week right there.
9 points is also an insult, too, to be honest with you. You roll out and you're like, hold on, who? Who's out there?
Particularly after that Atlanta game, I was like, when they like didn't have like the good Nuggets players, I'm just like, this group is so bad. And I was like, I would hammer the Nuggets.
There are a lot of players on the end of the Nuggets bench that just like can't play.
Yeah. Man, that's harsh. I just want to ask these ones just so that the chat knows I'm asking. You know, Jaden McDaniels would be a perfect Nugget. What is the price? Let me give you this one. I'm going to make it hard on you. Give the case that the Wolves should trade Jaden McDaniels.
Bro, what?
I'm telling you.
There is no case.
All right, well.
They are so desperate for wing defense. Yeah. And Jaden is awesome at it. Like, I think he'll
elite.
Make an all-defensive team. And it is just so important because they lose Patrick Beverley. They lose Jared Vanderbilt. They lose Malik I mean, those were the guys who were defending on the wing. And now you're left with. That puts Ant on the ball more often. D'Lo was off hitting every game last season. You can't do like Jaden is so important defensively to what the Wolves did. I mean, the word was like when the Gobert trade was going down is that if they would have put McDaniels in that trade, the Wolves could have kept two of the unprotected first round picks.
Mm.
So that
worth
sets,
two unprotected picks is.
I mean, and he's gonna be like if I was his agent, I would be like. And he's extension eligible this summer. I mean, I'd be pushing for $25+ million a year just because the Wolves are so desperate for what he brings. And he's going to develop even more into an offensive player. Like, it's just one of those guys that you have on the team that you cover, and you're like, nobody really knows how good this guy is yet. And it will not. No, nobody knows. But like,
I think it's switched this year though.
It's moving in that direction. But like, I think Jaden Finch. Loves Jaden. He compared him to Scottie Pippen after his rookie year. Like Finch is they will hold on to what's the diamond fingers, diamond hands.
Yeah, diamond hands.
Diamond hands. Jaden's not going anywhere.
So you would be very shocked if there was a Bones Zeke Jaden McDaniels trade.
Yeah. I said Harrison. I said, Jokic. We'll do it for Jokic.
For Jokic. Yeah.
You guys don't need another center, though. You're not going to bring in another center.
Man, collecting centers over there.
Zeke in the deal. We put Nas. All right. You could have Garza. Yeah.
Let's go to here. Give me the list of the teams that Minnesota most wants to play, or you most think they should want to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I've thought about this, and the standings are like jumping around so much. Obviously, if you're a team in the bottom half of the Western Conference playoff group, you know, 6, 7, 8, the Kings are who you want, obviously, way more than the Nuggets.
Not
for
fit reasons, just because you think they're the weakest team.
And I think with the Wolves, it's really important of I'm looking at matchups of how can Rudy be weaponized in the series, probably on defense. And I don't think Sabonis presents a real, like, floor spacing issue with Rudy in the playoffs. I just think that that's the ideal matchup for them. I think the Wolves, with their heads on straight, are a similar caliber team to Sacramento. I think the question that I've gone back and forth, and probably the more likely question, is Nuggets or Grizzlies. And, you know, not to like offend Nuggets listeners, I think it'd be better for the Wolves to play the Nuggets in the first round.
Almost beat the Grizzlies last year.
They did. They had a very different team last year. Mm. And I would be very concerned about the Wolves against the Grizzlies in a playoff series from a physicality standpoint. The Wolves are not physical. They would get punked on the glass in that. I'm not saying it's a huge difference between those two. I'm really into the idea of what we saw the second time the Wolves played the Nuggets, where you let Rudy spy off of Aaron Gordon and is able to limit Jokic in some way with – it was Kyle Anderson on the other one. Can Kat guard Jokic? Can you put Kat on Jokic in a playoff series with Rudy spying off of Gordon? McGordon shot 4 of 18 from the field in that game and was just kind of perplexed by not getting guarded. Now, the issue, he had 12 offensive rebounds that game. Like, that's what you give up by going that direction. I don't think Denver is a terrible matchup, a terrible choice out of terrible. Like, they're all bad options. Right. They're really good teams up there. I think if you're the Wolves, you'd rather play Denver than Memphis. Are you offended by that?
No, I'm not. No, I mean, I don't. It's curious because we just don't know how Denver matches up with Minnesota. We haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff is kind of weird. You do have
this might offend you. I'd rather play Denver than Phoenix or Golden State.
That's very offensive, Dan. I take a lot of offense.
You'd rather play Denver than the defending champ and four-time NBA champs. Like, that one's not offensive. And honestly, even Phoenix, like, I think. Everybody loves to clown Phoenix. I think everybody universally loves to clown them.
That is true.
They're very easy to. Yeah. But I think everybody in the back of their mind is still like, they have it in them to be really, really good. Yeah. So we'll see. We don't know if they have it in them to be champions, but we know they have it in them to be really, really good.
It should
be
annoying in a series.
Who does Denver at least want to get in a first-round matchup? Golden State.
Yeah.
And I think, and then Phoenix for me would be a quick number two in that order. So,
Would you rather play the Wolves or the Pelicans?
The Pelicans.
Rather play the Wolves or the Pelicans? Mm-hmm.
Probably the Pelicans.
I would say Wolves. It's a best player problem.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
In the playoffs, just
Pelican just.
You know,
never
Ant's
going to
play
before.
In the playoffs. You don't know if their best player is going to.
That's a good point, Dane. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Just assuming
both teams, I think, are have a wide variety of outcomes right now. It's getting smaller every game that goes by because there's less and less season. But both, like, New Orleans can be really good or really bad, and Minnesota, to me, can be really good and really bad. If you told me Denver swept Minnesota in a playoff series, I would not be surprised. And if you told me that they lost to them, I'd be a little surprised, but I would. It wouldn't be like out. It's not out of the realm of possibility that there's something that gives them a heart. You know, like, no, it really did fluster them being able to throw this length or something. I don't know. So I would be lean, obviously, more towards Denver handling that series.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying the
obviously
wide variety,
they'd be massive favorites there. I don't know. I mean, would they be able? Do you feel super confident in, like, the KCP, Bruce Brown, like, guarding the Ant type of guy? Do you, like, we got our perimeter defender guy, whether it be Ant or, you know, Paul George or
Denver
something like
only
that.
Only struggles with one thing. I know it's crazy if you don't watch them all the time, but they only struggle with one thing, and that's pick and roll. And I know Ant can run some pick and roll, and he does some of that stuff, but it's different than Donovan Mitchell, speedy, turn the corner, and it's like you got to throw all the bodies at him. It's much more of a deliberate.
How are the Wolves the team that doesn't have pick and roll? Like, I mean, that has been my thing. Like, Rudy.
But even just
they don't run it.
Like, D'Angelo Russell's really good, crazy. But even he is a different type of good pick and roll player. It's really the Damian Lillard.
Oh, I'm not arguing. Like, the Wolves are not a good pick and roll team. They just don't do it that often. It is nowhere near the part of their identity that I thought it would be.
I'm telling you, I don't know what Denver in the playoffs has played Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, one of the best pick and roll duos of that era.
Yeah.
You played Dame Lillard, one of the best pick and roll players of that era. You've played Steph Curry. Like, part of me doesn't know if Denver's actually bad defensively or if they just keep going up against the best pick and roll options possible.
And you then they played a team in the Clippers who just goes your turn, my turn,
and smacked
them. ISO, ISO,
at least on the stretch.
And by the end of that series, the Clippers just didn't know what to do.
They were solved. I mean, they solved the Clippers.
Yeah.
With regards to the Wolves matchup, I thought there was something more kind of valid to the matchup problems last year. It, like, there was a physical edge to the Wolves that I think is lost. And they played in a way that I actually thought was the one thing Denver was lacking. I mean, last year they were lacking their best players as well, but there was just like an in-your-face ferocity and like kind of edge to them that I don't really see this year. This year, to me, I think it seems a little bit more just rest and Denver not having their guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I would think in a seven-game series it goes Denver's way. Yeah.
We got to move quickly. So here, one, give the case. There's going to be an open, at least one open spot for a playoffs because Steph Curry's out. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, that Steph Curry news is now they're saying like 4 weeks or something. That could be a
minimum.
It might be a major development here in the playoff saga.
For
We'll talk about that another time. But make the case that Anthony Edwards deserves that spot.
I think the coolest thing for me covering Ant this year has been seeing him evolve into a leader. And it was, I mean, it was rough when Carl went out. And, you know, they're 10 and 11, and everyone hates the trade, and things were bad. And I thought at that time, I was like, all right, Ant, like, it's go. Like, go do this. Lead the team to keep them at 500, maybe a game or two over 500. And he did it. Like, he really did that. He did it efficiently. He did it in adding to his game. I think he is the only reason the Wolves aren't a complete dumpster fire, at least for this season.
Right.
And I don't mean that to take away from, you know, De'Aaron Fox. I didn't really know Jamal Murray was in this conversation, but sounds like you guys have another
spice.
I thought you were actually joking when we sent it to break. I guess that's just because I hadn't really been thinking about it. But I mean, what Ant has done this year to me has really exceeded expectations, and at a time they needed to do it. And the number one reason it's silly, I think, in the first place, that it was like a no-brainer, Paul George and Jaren Jackson Jr. over them. I mean, Ant's played 20 more games than, or like right. 18 more games than those guys too. So what are you valuing in that situation?
The Clippers, I value playing.
Clippers and the Grizzlies have better records than the Wolves, so I get it to that end, and I guess I get that with Jamal Murray there too. And
that's the
Fox.
Jamal Murray argument. It's like he's contributed to winning. You know, like the Nuggets are the number one seed.
When we talked, though, like 2 weeks ago, you came on my show, Harrison. You said if they should get another one, it should be Aaron Gordon. What changed?
That was like 2-3 weeks ago. Aaron Gordon, he was the guy for the first half of the season. He's tailed off, though.
No,
and Jamal Murray's come on.
I would say he was the guy of the first 20. Jamal's been the guy the last 20. And then in between, there was just a blending. They both were good, but it was
literally
like
what I just said.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it was more stark. It wasn't just like
Adam
this, and then it went to this.
Jamal
Murray's really come on over the last 20 games. Since he hit this game winner in Portland, he's been back. Like he's been the guy. Gordon was the stabilizer the first half of the season when, you know, Jamal was missing games. He wasn't playing in back to backs. Some nights he would have 25. The next night he would have 10. Gordon was the rock, but then, you know, Jamal Murray's kind of come on.
Both guys are shooting 46.1% from the field. Effective field goal percentage, 53.2 to 53.6 in favor of Jamal. I mean, the same, basically. Mm-hmm. And then points per game, Ant is averaging 4.5 more points per game, but on 3.2 more shots. So basically their numbers are the exact same. A little higher usage in Ant's case, but
yeah, and I don't know, you apply it to, like, the team and what. Not that Denver didn't need Jamal Murray to right. be what this sure. this was. That would be the case I would make, is the Wolves would be like
totally
have the same record as like the Magic right now if Ant didn't step up.
I think Ant deserves it definitely over Jamal.
One guy's
what about over
sure.
Fox? You think over what would you
advanced
say between
stats, box plus minus.
Also, Murray one guy plays with Jokic, man. Like one yeah, guy's so pick and roll partner is Rudy Gobert right now. And
Ant has been significantly better than Jamal defensively this season.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. Our last quick little mini break here, and then at the very end, we have a fun graphic to make for you about Bones Highland.
Nice.
Backus and Shanker, guys. The thing about Backus and Shanker is they win for Colorado families. When you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. They've been helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. And the coolest thing about them is they're free until they win money for your case. No upfront fees to speak with them about your case. No fees while they work on your case. No fees unless they win your case and win money for you. Backus and Shanker has won over $1 billion for their clients, and they serve all of Colorado, and they have neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They've got 30 lawyers and 100 staff members. Backus & Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They even help you if you're injured at work. They have the easiest phone number to remember as well. 222-2222. That's it. 222-2222. Call them today. Find out if you have a case. Backus & Shanker, they win.
Alrighty, back here. Let's talk real quick. We did bring these out. I want you to give where it's actually for us. Where are the Timberwolves going to finish in the standings when it's all said and done?
You want like a number or
a number? Right now they're four, hanging on by an edge.
It could go either direction real quick.
Oh wait, no. Right now they're seven. Sorry, right now they're seven. 29, yeah, I was 27.
Like, I didn't check it this morning. Did everybody lose?
It changes pretty. It does.
They're one game back of four.
What do you? Okay, I'll answer. I'm gonna say six. I'm curious what you guys think. How Dallas is gonna move in the standings for the rest of the season?
This is tough because the Golden State move complicates this a little bit.
Yeah, it pushes.
I think
down.
Dallas will move up.
Well, hold on. I'm going with Minnesota first. I'm gonna take under six. I think they're a play-in team. I think the Clippers are probably in. I think the Suns are probably going to be in. Sacramento's obviously staying. And that means there's one last spot that is for Dallas, Minnesota, Golden State, New Orleans, Utah, Portland, Oklahoma City, and the Lakers. I just think that there's a complication that's going to arrive when you get Kent Towns back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know.
Probably I'd set the line at like 6.5. Yeah. Like
I'd go under.
6, 7, or 8 is where I'm anticipating the Wolves finishing.
Yeah, probably seven. I'll take under.
So we all went under on the six pick. Okay. Dallas is possible.
Dallas a wild card, though. I get your question.
They do play 17 of their final 26 games on the road.
They're on the road?
26 left.
Dallas 17. Does. Oh,
definitely
under. No. Minnesota does.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely under.
Then under, yeah.
Dallas, where do I think they're going to go? I think they'll go up.
I think they'll go up, too.
I actually think this move works for one season. I don't think it works next year, but I think it's like...
Yeah, I think it works for... 4 months.
This is, yeah, exactly. And that's all they need it to. And I actually think Dallas becomes a little dangerous. All right, Kale, pull up the graphic real quick. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year, man. I'm just going to give it to them. They're tough. Like, Luka gets you 90% of the way there. Is Kyrie, could he ruin a series? Yes. Could he win a series? Yes.
Yeah.
That's my official thing.
What happens the first time he yells at Kyrie?
Zoom in a little there, Kale, if you can. There you go. yeah. All right, I'm going to list out some names. I want you guys to help me. Dane, you can kind of chime in if you want, but you two help me. Places you do not want to see are places that would be bad for Bones Highland to go for Denver.
I love
versus
this.
Bad for him personally. Okay, the Los Angeles Lakers, would that be good for Bones and good for Denver? Bad for both. What do you guys think?
Bad for Denver
for sure.
Bad for Bones.
You think it would be bad for Bones?
I'm with Wind.
Just because, like, lifestyle reasons?
Yeah.
Like, supremely bad?
He would get that far in the corner? He would get so hyped up by the Laker media machine.
Oh, man, you're right.
It could not be good for his mental.
I think we move this one closer. I think it's in that quadrant, but I think it's only a foot in that quadrant.
He's not playing
defense.
I think
it's bad for Denver.
Think about how much the Lakers are hyping up Max Christie right now. Now imagine they have Bones Highland.
My God. He's right.
He's not playing defense in L.A.
Look,
either, man.
I don't know that it would be that bad for Bones, though. I mean, he would become famous. He might get a music deal.
I'm just talking about his basketball career, but okay.
It might be bad for his basketball career. Might be great for his personal career.
He might
career.
Get a music deal. Right.
Phoenix Suns.
They do shrooms in L.A.?
I think this...
That was a good joke.
Bad for the Nuggets. Better than the Lakers for Bones, though.
Okay.
What makes it bad for the Nuggets? Like, a team you're going to see a lot, a team you're going to catch in the playoffs? Like, what?
I think it's that. I mean, yeah, it's like you traded him away to a place where now you're...
Is this going to come back to, like,
and we hate these teams.
So Eastern Conference is universally good.
We hate these teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more likely to be better. I mean, there's one team that's going
to
come up.
I don't want
there.
Him to thrive for our foes.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. So you think it's, like, right there, Harrison?
Probably. I mean, Chris Paul might hate Bones Highland.
I don't know, man. You know what? Like, who's their good campaign? Little trash talk, like whatever, little firecracker trash talker, and everybody likes it. It works there. Like, Bones might actually.
But campaign was like what? Bones when he was 20.
Right. Yeah. Campaign's kind of held, I think, feel like he's grown up a little.
No. All right. The 76ers.
Okay then.
76ers. Oh, dude. This is good for Bones.
This is
great for Bones, and it's it's terrible for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I would put it all the way in the corner of
It is worse than it's so bad for the Nuggets. Like, Bones would start hyping up Embiid.
He 100%. He's the best big I've ever played with. Like, man. Immediately.
We couldn't take that. We couldn't take that.
This would be the worst case scenario for sure.
They start, he and his camp turn into anti-yoke guys.
Yeah. Oh, for sure they would. Yeah. Clippers.
That'd be really good for Bones. The Clippers would be a great spot for him.
Would Bones play on the Clippers? I don't think Bones would play on the Clippers.
John Wall for the Clippers?
He's a buyout candidate.
John Wall
they
for Bones?
They kind of need a... He's better than Reggie Jackson.
I just don't get the whole idea that they really need a point... And is Bones like a point guard? I don't know.
No.
It's kind of similar to their bucket getters. Right?
Washington Wizards.
That's random.
Good for the Nuggets, good for Bones.
I agree. I think this is the ultimate would be good for both sides. If he went to Washington... It's so far away. Washington's not in the finals anytime soon. You don't have to worry about any of that.
Is this just where we put our former guys out to pasture now?
It might be.
DC.
Go see Wes.
You'll like it out there.
Go see Uncle Wes.
You'll like it. It's nice and peaceful for you.
The weather is nice.
Are we going to get the Wolves on
it's
here,
not,
Caleb?
By the way.
Yeah, let's get the Timberwolves. Why not? Let's go Timberwolves. I actually think it would be great for Bones.
Yeah.
I think he's back with Tim. And I actually think it would be okay for Denver just because I think it's not a thing that would pay immediate dividends. Although you never know.
I don't know. Bones is pretty pissed right now, and you might play the Wolves in the
If you had him in the playoffs,
round.
That would be
tough. That first round series would be juicy.
But I also think as great as Bones is, this year he's not ready to guard the Nuggets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, he might go for 30 and still be a -5 against the Nuggets.
Yes.
I don't think it would be good for the Wolves. I think it's good. Can we do like half, like a two-face thing? I don't know.
I would call that one like right in the center. I think that one's close to like, it's not great or bad.
Here's what we call this. No one really wants this, but
nobody really wants this, yeah. I want to go with the Chicago Bulls. What if you got him in on a little Caruso deal of some kind? How is Bones if he's in Chicago? They're a bad team.
Yeah.
Levine's probably out of there.
Good for the Nuggets, good for Bones.
I agree. I think this one's not quite like it is with Washington. I think it's a little more inside on both angles.
I'm very confused as to what you guys are wanting to get back for Bones.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we don't know.
We've kind of given up.
The Indiana Pacers.
Oh, God. Bad for
Chris
Bones.
Chris Duarte, I've heard his name out there.
I'm out on Duarte.
Why, because he's 30?
I just don't think he's that good.
26.
He's 26. Close enough. I mean,
I actually think that one would be good for Nuggets, and I think it'd be good for Bones. I mean, I guess they have a couple.
They have
guards.
A lot of guards.
They have a lot of. You're right. It's bad. You're right. It is in that lower quadrant a little bit. Last one I got for you. Then here we'll do Pistons.
Same thing, right? Too many guards.
Who are we getting back?
Jaden Ivey. Let's do it.
A pick.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Good for Nuggets.
Good for Nuggets. Good
Detroit
for Bones.
Feel about
would it be
Sadiq
good
Bay?
For Bones to go to a place where it's like bad team, but you get 20 shots?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
He would go
probably.
Off in these teams.
Yeah, he would.
Probably.
He would. Cold weather might kill him, though.
Real quickly, just real quickly, like if we said Trailblazers.
Bad for everyone.
I feel like he is the last guy the Trailblazers would want.
So true.
You got Anthony Simons, Damian Lillard. Yeah. How about Bones?
Yeah, they do not want Bones.
Yeah.
You never know, man. You never know. All right, that's bad for everyone. All right, thought that was a little fun little graphic here of where you could send them. As you could see, the Eastern Conference good, the Western Conference bad, and our absolutely hated enemies, the worst of all. That does it for today's show. DNVR Buffs is coming up. I wonder what they're going to talk about. Probably Coach Prime
they and coming.
The football team. They coming. Everybody, check out Dane Moore's stuff, the Dane Moore NBA podcast, if you want to hear more about the Timberwolves.
Primetime Nation Buffs podcast.
Let's go.
Greater than.
Buffs in. All right. We'll see everybody next time.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor,
What's a mistake they made that changed their approach? And how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.